You're listening to the Empower Series, the first Middle Eastern mental health and wellness podcast by Ali Salama.
Andrew, man, how are you? It's been great. It's been great to finally have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor, and I'm just excited to talk about this stuff. So thank you.
Yeah. So mental health, as we know, like, I'm doing this all out of passion, which is why I had JR, and you know, I was in talks with Matthias Derada from BD, and even Jeremy expressed interest in, you know, wanting to join the podcast. But the thing is, the podcast is just the starting point with mental health, right? Like, we're gonna have a conversation. You're gonna be talking more about how you view mental health and how you put mental health into perspective when making travel films, right? And and I think that, you know, from our initial talk before we sort of hopped on the podcast, which wasn't too long ago.
No, it wasn't.
you were telling me how everything is emotions driven within art, and one thing that a lot of people struggle with is channeling their emotions, and that's why sort of mental health over the past few years, especially with the boom in social media and so many instant gratifying things, which actually make it very addictive, and you know, you get to compare yourself a lot with other people. But no, we're not going to talk about social media here. We're just going to talk about mainly mental health and the role it plays in your life and how much attention you give to it. So yeah, can we start off by just, what does mental health mean to you, man?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I never really thought about. I mean, you know, for a long time. And as it's become more prevalent, and because of people like you and the conversations that people are having now, which is amazing, you know, I started to think about it more and to prioritize it more. Which is all the keys, you know. It's balancing these things in your life and treating mental health as you would physical health, because they're equally, if not mentally, is possibly even more important. So mental health to me is sort of just the basis of everything. You know, how you're doing mentally is the basis in what determines how you function physically. You know, your mental state is what drives everything. And I think by prioritizing it and by having conversations like this and learning to think more about it, we're all just better for it. So I can't really give you like my definition, but that's what mental health means to me, at least.
And like, of course, you run a very successful YouTube page. I was checking it out yesterday. And for someone like yourself, you know, you're creative. You depend solely on social media outlet. Do you deal with any stress, and how do you mitigate that? Because sometimes, you know, when we can't really put a cap on it, it sort of consumes us and it wears us down.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that mental health is really big on, because we aren't taught that. We aren't taught emotional intelligence. So can I have your take about that?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point. You know, like, my life is, especially because I just graduated, it is social media. Everything is social media all the time, which obviously, you know, I do it. I love social media. I think it's a great, great thing. But like everything in life, you know, there's a give and a take. And the take is the mental toll that it really has on everybody. And I think the biggest thing for me has always been comparison. And, you know, the idea, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's so, so true. The thing that I've been just trying to focus on actively, something that I've been trying to do for my mental health is focus on the fact that it's not a competition between me and anybody else. It's a competition between me and me. And I can run this race at my own pace, because I'm not racing someone else. I'm racing myself. And for a while, I feel like I resisted those thoughts a little bit. I resisted it because I thought that's like the weak view. Like I felt like that was kind of like a weak stance, almost like I'm sort of like giving in. But really, you are the only person you're competing against. And by opening yourself up like that, not only do I think I've become even more competitive and against myself, I think it's helped to calm me down a little bit and relieve the anxiety that social media brings on. So just knowing that it really is just a competition between you and yourself.
And how do you pinpoint yourself when you come to, because all the like comparison happens subconsciously, almost, because we're on social media, or we're doing that subconsciously. How do you stop yourself, or where's that cue point where you know that, Andrew, this is this is what you shouldn't do right now. Or Andrew, get yourself together.
Yeah.
Let's get it together.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. And I fully respect what he's doing. And that has nothing related to me. How do you separate or how do you disassociate that? Or where do you find that within your field or within your craft?
Yeah, well,
or within your life?
That's a great question, man. And you know, part of me is still searching for that answer. I think it's part of the process. But for one thing, you know, like you said, it's to me, I think I had a bit more of an extreme case than others. There was a point where I was even talking to my parents about this because I felt like I was constantly it got to the point where I would look at other people's channels and I would get like upset if they were doing well, which is such like a terrible thing to do, you know, because that's,
we've all been there.
We've all been there. Yeah, I know. We've all been there, man.
I've been there.
It's a dark part, but I think having that awareness is the first thing that opened me up to fixing it, you know, or working at it. Cause if you just try to act like that's not the thoughts that run across your mind, like, opening myself up to my parents was something that was a huge deal for me, and just being self-aware that is what I was thinking. Because I could try to fool myself, like, no, I'm happy for them. I am happy for them. But in reality, you know, even if I said that to myself, it wasn't true. And that was the first step to me learning how to overcome that and getting closer to being able just to compete against myself. So I think it's all about that awareness and being open and having that conversation, you know, whether it be with your parents or someone close or a podcast like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole point, right? Not a lot of people have that luxury to talk to. I mean, I certainly didn't when I was going through what I was going through. And that's why I thought that having something that is, I mean, not only a podcast, but even going out of your way to ask people if it's all right for you to talk to them. Some people are out there and, you know, while not everybody's going to be the person that you want to talk to, someone's going to be the right person to talk to, whether that's a professional or whether that's a friend that is really good at just taking and absorbing things in. Sometimes you just don't want answers right away. Sometimes as human beings, as even men, we need that comfort.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want to talk about also.
Absolutely.
Challenging masculinity, because there's this notion where men can't do a lot of things. And, you know, like 2 days ago, it was this abortion law, a lot of females sort of raged about, and by all means, they do have the right to rage about it. But here's where we also have to draw this line from speaking about masculinity, speaking about vulnerability as well. Being vulnerable makes you no less of a man. And that's a very, 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 very hard concept for men, especially growing up in the UK, in Cairo and in Toronto. It's the same notion in men everywhere. It's like you have to be very hard and you have to have this hard shell. And of course, growing up, it bites us in the ass because we don't get this, you know, we don't get to know how to showcase our emotions in the right form. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Yeah.
How do you see that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I love that we're talking about this because something like masculinity, you know, I think it's such a good thing for people to talk about. And the idea that we're rigid and we can't open ourselves up. So the way that I've always kind of dealt with being vulnerable with people, because I am in a, you know, like everyone, I'm an emotional person. I think I'm probably more even emotional. I don't want to say I'm more emotional than other guys. I'm probably more vulnerable with my emotions than other people. But
exactly.
But I think having a group of people, like a close-knit group of people that you can talk to, is sort of the key for me, because, you know, I don't want to be vulnerable with like everybody. Like, I don't want to just like walk down the street and like tell some dude like my life problems and history. Like, no one's going to do that. Yeah. But having like a group of people, like my parents, my brother, I have a really close friend who I can be completely open with them, and I have been, and we can have those discussions. So having like a group of people around you, like a few select to be open with, is sort of the key. And that way you can kind of maintain, you know, professionality, you know, a certain level of professionalism in the workplace or wherever you are, but you can still communicate those emotions with people, you know. So just having a close-knit group of people, I don't think guys have to be like just like tell everyone how they're feeling all the time, but tell somebody.
Yeah, and I think that point is just as as effective as it is for guys, as it is for girls. Mm-hmm. I think that like what you're saying, if I can sort of coin word it into one word, it would be a support system.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel that what I've been realizing and the trends that I've been having with JR and the people that I've been having podcasts with is that, and now we need to put more focus on how to create a support system when we do not have an effective support mm-hmm. system. Because sometimes, I mean, I do get a lot of times someone telling me, well, I don't have what you mm-hmm. have, or I don't have a mother like you, or I don't have a group of friends like you. And I just look at them and I just answer, well, make it happen.
Yeah.
Create that group. Have you gone to like a social meetup, or have you done very uncomfortable things? Like, things aren't just gonna rain at you, you know, from the sky. Of course, there blessings do happen, but you have to take action, because without action, nothing's gonna happen. And so how can you emphasize a time where you just literally felt really alone, mm-hmm. And you probably felt that way.
Yeah.
How did you get out?
Well, first off, I just want to say, like, you know, I have been blessed, you know, and I think it's important for all of us and if you guys are listening, if you have been blessed with parents who are there for you and support system that was kind of just built into your life already, you know, I think that family kind of is supposed to be like nature's support system for you, you know, like, I think like having brothers and having parents and grandparents, like, I kind of think that's supposed to be the human support system. But unfortunately, and my heart goes out to anybody who I mean has had the tragedy of losing a loved one, or maybe just not having that parent in their life at all, you know, my heart goes out to you. But I think, like what you said, it's just important to find that support system, to get out there, because it's not going to just show up for you. You know, obviously I can't really speak from experience, so I'm not going to try to tell someone who hasn't been blessed like I have what to do, because I haven't really experienced that. But I would say probably just get outside and try to go to some kind of groups or just meet people, you know, make friends. But I know that's so hard, man. I know it is. I'm so bad at making new friends, and I know it's a struggle, but it's important, and you need to prioritize it.
Well, it took me 5 years to make an actual friend that I can call a friend living here in Toronto, and you know what, you go through phases that make you, you know, form a magazine about mental health because of something that really you know, touches you that deep. I just, something I really want to touch upon is that, like, I want you to talk about a time when you really 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 considered or reconsidered, like, a time when you felt lost, and I know you're seven. I know you're pretty young, but a lot of people your age, most of the mental health related disorders start at around, you know, adolescence. So, can you relate to a time when it was really dark, and what was it like?
Yeah, you know, it's so, you know, part of the reason I think I shouted this out on my story or something, the podcast, and that's how we kind of got this ball rolling. But I, you know, to be perfectly open with you, like, recently, very recently, I would say within the past 2 months, I went through, you know, not a medically diagnosed, but what I would call, you know, my first real depression. And, you know, it's the first time I've ever talked about this, like in this setting.
Thank you, man.
So
thank you.
I don't want to.
Thank you so much.
I don't want to.
This is brave, man. This is.
Well,
real.
It was real, you know, and I think it was real, and it was the first time in my life I was like, oh, so this is what it's like, and I you know, it was the same things I felt. I've always been a very driven person, you know, and I wasn't. I didn't, you know, and I was tired, and I was, you know, and just the same things. And what it was, I'm not going to give you the specific reason, because there was an internal reason why. But the hinge that was causing me was I wasn't communicating that reason to anybody. I was keeping it completely inside of me, and it was just festering there. So what happened was I eventually, it was probably about a month, solid month of feeling just really in the heart of it. And then I talked to my parents, and they're my support system. Yeah. And it's kind of like, we're not reinventing the wheel here, but it's just communication, man. That's all it is. Yeah. And that's not like not a new concept. I'm sure no one's, like, mind is blown to hear that. But just by telling my parents this, it was this instant relief, and everything was instantly better. And I've been working through it more and slowly getting out of it. And I feel like I'm in a good place now. But
That's good, dude. Just communication, man.
That's what got me out of it.
And is there anything that you've sort of sustained since you've managed to get out of that phase, like a habit you sort of have, journaling? Do you, what keeps you in that state of mind that is healthy and that allows you to achieve something such as what you have on YouTube? Mm. Like you're self-sustained. A lot of people dream to have what you have.
Well, actually, I think it's kind of funny. I think what Matias said on that podcast was, he talked about, you know, if you have like, if you constantly communicate as you're going through life, like in little chunks, you never have to have those big breakdowns. And he said something like that, at least. I'm not quoting him, but I don't want to put words in his mouth. But what I had with my parents was a big breakdown. Like, it was a big. I kind of ever since that, and ever since hearing Matias talk about that, that makes a lot of sense. So whenever I'm feeling something, and it's serious, just like, you know, talking to someone about it. And that way, by having those little conversations, you don't have to have like a big meltdown. And so that's sort of something I've been doing, is, you know, I just talking to my support group, talking to my support system about these things when they come. And that way, hopefully, you know, I can mitigate the sort of depression or anxiety that I might experience.
I agree. And it's sort of when you aren't in sync with your internal communication, i.e. the voice that you talk to within yourself, this is exactly when conflict happens, and internal conflict leads to psychological imbalances and chemical imbalances. And that's what people really need to understand with mental health. It's sort of, it's not I'm depressed and I'm just moody and all those things. They're actually like exams. You have to go to doctors if things get too serious. There are real life implications. And Netflix's series Heal just shows you how powerful your mind is, because guess what? Flip that on the opposite side, you can cure yourself from terminal diseases if you have great mental health. And here's how, like, here's why I'm pursuing this as sort of a career or wanting to be very passionate about it, because once people sort of fathom how they are just like, their entire life is surrounded around, or their potential is all about how they optimize their own mental health, that's when we'll start to really sort of shift focus from, instead of eating just healthy and just going to the gym, focusing on what my thought process is like, and sort of breaking down everything in your mind or in my mind, right? And that is truly the only way that you can not only master your life but live very harmoniously in an age where we are just bombarded by like information upon information, data upon data, and our minds cannot take that. And that's why people who can't manage it, and by all means, I was one of them before I taught myself, which is the emotional intelligence that we're talking about here throughout this podcast. That's why in today's day and age, mental health is the leading cause of disability in the world. And so just to wrap this up, basically, I want to ask you if there's something that you want to put out there to someone that admires your work, or someone that looks up to you in a way that says, one day I wish I could do what Andrew James is doing. What would a message from you be to them?
That's such a having this platform, it's a responsibility. And I think what I would say is something along the lines of prioritize the things that are important. And in that category is the mental health, for sure. And, you know, that's the thing that really kind of blew my mind when I went through my first sort of struggle with this, is how much it affected every little detail of my life, down to even like eating habits, what I was, everything was affected, you know, and that's what it showed me for the first time in my life, how much of a base your mental health really is. It's everything. Exactly. Like, once you mess up that, all the blocks come tumbling down. And that's why.
No, that's 100%.
Yeah, and that's why you have to prioritize that. So I would say, you know, prioritize the things that really matter and get those straight, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing I would say is, real quick, is just to someone who hasn't gone through depression or struggle with this mental health, I think, you know, before I went through this little struggle of mine, I unfortunately think I was just very ignorant about this field. And I think that's why it's so important that people like you are doing this. But I was a very ignorant person when it came to mental health because I hadn't struggled with it personally. And I think I made a lot of judgments internally and things that were wrong and just not true. So to someone out there who's listening who hasn't maybe gone through something like this, understand how much it affects somebody and that it is a real thing and that it happens to real people. And I had someone who was close to me recently got diagnosed by a doctor to actually be struggling with their mental health, and just understand that it is real. And by, I hope by telling people who haven't struggled with this, that it's a real thing, I hope you can be that support system for someone in your life who might need you now. Because that's really important.
Empathy. I always say empathy, not sympathy. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad for people, because when you feel bad for people, they automatically feel that they're a burden on you. You make them feel that they are a burden. But when you feel for them, it's like you can blob everything onto me, but that isn't gonna, you know, change my state. So I'm always gonna be there, and don't feel that, you know, you are a simply a burden.
Right.
So I think empathy, I really dislike sympathy, and I don't like when people feel sorry for, because here's the thing, the world sometimes has a lot of bad things that do happen, but I think that everything happens in law and order, with divine order. So no matter what bad happens, whatever bad happens to somebody or an animal or whatever, we need to understand that we need more empathy and less sympathy and pity, because that gets us nowhere.
Yeah, that's such an important distinction. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I've never really thought about it that way. I recently read a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. You know, it's a classic.
Yeah.
I think everyone should read that book. I'm going to read it again soon. I love it, man. But the whole book is a lot just about, you know, different methods, practical methods for applying empathy. Like empathy, being able to feel empathy and to feel and put yourself, that's the main thing. Just being able to put yourself in other people's shoes is it's everything. It changes everything.
Exactly.
So that's super important.
Yeah. No, I couldn't add anything more to what you said, Andrew. So I want to thank you so much for hopping on this podcast, on this show.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
The Empower series. One last thing before we cut it. If you were to recommend one person, and who would that be?
If I were to recommend
one person to come on the show, who would that be?
Maybe
one person you would love to have the conversation.
I think Aiden Robbins is a guy that I'm really close with, a good friend of mine. He's also a YouTuber. He does something similar to me. So that's probably Aiden Robbins, or I'd love, I think you mentioned something about maybe getting Jacob on the show, and I love Jacob.
Yeah.
And he's such a cool guy. So one of those two for
All
sure,
right.
or both.
Right. We'll see next week.
All right, man. Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Man. It was really such an honor and such an important talk, conversation. So thank you so much.
No, man, you're such a genuine guy. Thank you so much.
Make sure to subscribe to the Empower newsletter to get the latest news about our exclusive guests on the show, new publications and articles every Friday.